Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erev and Daf Mem Vav. We have five lines from the top of the Amud. The Mishnah presented us with a machlekes between Rabbi Yechem and Nuri, who holds that even a person who is asleep during Ben Hashmashes is koina shvisa. He acquires a tchum, he can walk 2,000 amah in all directions. In contrast to the Chachamim who hold, only a person who is awake and aware during Ben Hashmashes, he gets shvisa. Otherwise, he's limited to merely his personal space of 4 amahs. Says the Gemara, 5 lines from the top, Amar Rabbi Yaakov Aridi, Amar Rabbi Shoban Levi, Halocha, K'Rabbi Yechon Menuri, the Halocha follows Rabbi Yechon and Shita, that a person, even when he's asleep during Ben Hashmashes, will be koine shvisa. Amalei Rabbi Zera, the Rabbi Yaakov Aridi. You're quoting Rabbi Shoban Levi, that the Halocha follows Rabbi Yechon Menuri? Beferos Shmielach, have you heard it explicitly? That Rabbi Shoban Levi concluded as such that the halacha follows Rabbi Yechonon, or perhaps it was only implicit, something which you have derived from another statement of Rabbi Shoman Levi. Amalei, so Rabbi Yaakov responded, Beferish Meli, I personally heard this. He said it clearly. That the halacha follows Rabbi Yechonon. Says one, my klala, what would have been the other statement, a more general statement that Rabbi Shoman Levi said, that perhaps Rabbi Yaakov would have derived from there and come to this conclusion. My klala, do Omar Rabbi Shoban Levi, halacha kedivri hamekel be'erev. Because Rabbi Shoban Levi said once that when it comes to Erev, we follow the lenient shita. As Rashi points out, that tchum is also within the context, within the halachas of Erevin, and therefore we're meant to follow the lenient approach, which is Rabbi Yechonon Nuri in this case, who holds that even a person when he's asleep will be kind of shvisa. So that was his question. Was it from that statement, that general statement, that you have derived this conclusion? That Rabbi Yechonon Nuri is the shita meant to follow? Or perhaps was it something more clear? And he answered, yes, I actually heard it clearly. Rabbi Shoban Levi said that halacha follows Rabbi Yechonon Nuri. Says Rabbi Tarti Lomeli, if that's the case, why both statements? Why did Rabbi Shoban Levi need to issue both? Number one, that when it comes to Erev, we follow the lenient view. And number two, that we follow Riachim and Nuri. Seems to be a repetition here. Amar Abzeret Tzrichi, both statements are required. Why? Diyashminan halacha ke Riachim and Nuri. Because had he only said, halacha follows Riachim and Nuri, hava mina, I would say, bein l'kula u'bein l'chumra. Let's keep in mind, Riachim and Nuri taught us two things. Number one, a person who is asleep will be kind of shvisa. So he's not limited to merely 4 amis. He gets 2,000 all directions, and that is a kula. But he also said that a chefetz of hefker will get shvisa. That shvisa and tchum can be applied even to an ownerless object. So that actually results in a chumra. Because according to the Chachamim, that a chefetz of hefker does not have shvisa, what happens? Anybody who picks it up could just take it along with him. Whichever direction he's allowed to go, the object is not limited to be within this radius of 2,000 am. So in this case, Rabbi Yechonon Nuri, who applies tchum even to a chefetz of hefker, is actually teaching us a chumrah. So had Rabbi Shoban Levi only said that halacha follows Rabbi Yechonon, blank statement, I would say, well, in both applications, when it comes to a person, he gets shvisa, and that's a kula. It's not limited to 4 amas. He can walk for 2,000. And also it's applied to a chefetz of hefker, in which case it results in a chumrah. He's not unlimited. He can't just be taken around. He's limited to his tchum of 2,000. Kamashmal, and that's why Rabbi Shoban Levi need to add, halacha k'divrei hamekel be'erev. And when it comes to Erev, we follow the lenient view. That indicates to us that we only follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri when it comes to a kula, meaning an adam. But when it comes to kalim, in that case, we don't follow Rabbi Yochanan, because that will result in a kula, in a chumrah. Rather, in that, we follow the Rabbanon, that a chefetz of hefker does not have shrisa. So that's why he needs to add, that when it comes to Eruv, we follow the halacha k'divrei hamekel. Says the one, if that's the case, why couldn't he just suffice with that statement? v'leim halacha, k'divra mekel be'eruv. If you would have just said that, then we would conclude as such. We would say, well, when it comes to Adam, we follow Rabbi Yochanan. When it comes to Kalim, we follow the Rabban. We're meant to spend the result in a kula on all sides. Halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan Nuri Lomeli. Why did he need to add the other statement as well? Halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. Says more Yitzrich, that too is needed. Saka da'ita chamina. Perhaps I would say, if you would only issue the first statement, halacha k'divrei hamekel be'erev, I would say, well, we follow the lenient shita only in certain cases. Hani mila, that's only said yachid makam yachid. If the individual is opposed by another individual, so machleik is between two individuals, or v'ravim makam rabim. If we have a multitude opposed by another multitude. Abel yachid makim rabim. But let's say you have a yachid who is being opposed by a majority. In that case, perhaps, emaloi, I wouldn't follow the individual, the yachid, because he's being opposed by a rabim, meant to follow the rabim. So even when we're speaking about eruv, and the yachid is the mekel, perhaps you won't say the halacha follows the yachid. Meant to follow the rabim in that case. That's why Rabbi Shimon Levi saw a need to stress, to issue that second statement, halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, which teaches us that we follow Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan's lenient shita, meaning by Adam, even in face of a rabbin, such as this case where the rabbin, Rabbanan, disagree with him. And that's the chiddush. So both statements are needed. Had he only have said halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, I would say, well, whether the chumra or the kula, by Adam, which is a kula, and by Kalim, which is a chumra, we follow his shita. That's why you need to say halacha k'divrei hamekel be'erev. We only follow the lenient view. Had he only said that statement, I would say, well, that doesn't include our case because Rabbi Yochanan is being opposed by a rabbin. So meant to favor the majority. Therefore, he needs to teach us. No, halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, which is coming to include even this case. Let's take a look at Rashi, 8 lines from the top. So he said halacha k'divrei hamekel be'erev. Says Rashi Be'erev, B'chol Meshpatav, in all its halachas, all its applications. Utchumin, the halachas of Tchumin, Melchas Eruvin Heim, is also considered to be part of Hilchas Eruv. So, had he only said halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, we would say, Bein Lekula, whether it has a lenient application, could go in Adam Yoshein, a sleeping person. In that case, it's a kula. Why? The Eloi Kana Shvisa, because if he hasn't acquired Shvisa, what happens? L'nafik Medal Damis. He must remain within his four Amis. So when we follow Rabbi Yochanan, it results in a kula. L'chumra, on the other side of the coin, we would have a stringency. Kigoyin klei hefker. If you have a kli which is hefker, I amis koyin shvisa. If you follow Rabbi Yochanan, and shvisa applies to hefker, also l'lichan l'makim sh'irav zehamoytzan. They can't be moved around. They can't be taken in the direction where this person can go. So let's say he can go 4,000 amah to the east because he placed an eruv of tchumen. If this chafetz, which is lying right here, has its own independent din shvisa, it can only be transferred within this radius of 2,000 from the kli. It can't be taken over to the location where this person's heading. El alpaim udislu l'chol ruach only has 2,000 inch of action. So perhaps we would follow Rabbi Yochanan on both accounts. Kamash malon. Therefore, he teaches us k'divrei hamekel. We only follow the divrei hamekel ba'adam. Who did Chazaka say? It's only when it comes to Adam. We follow Rabbi Yochanan. The Kivan, the Nir Kana, Yashin Namin Nir Kana. Rashi is going to explain for us how can we split the two things. So Rashi and also Tosfos points that out. How can we split? We could say, well, when it comes to Adam, we follow Rabbi Yochanan Shita. When it comes to Kalim, we do not. It appears that they're both really interconnected. Rabbi Yochanan says awareness is not a requirement for Kinyan Shvisa. Therefore, a sleeping person, or even a Chavetz of Hefker, is Kinyan Shvisa. Now, how can we split the two and say, well, we only follow the Divrei HaMekel, meaning, when it comes to Adam, which results in a kula, because we're lifting that restriction of four amos, we're giving him tchum, we follow Rabbi Yochanan. Even if he's lacking awareness, it's okay. When it comes to a kli, we say, no, we don't want to impose restrictions and give it its tchum, we want to leave it unrestricted, and anybody can walk away with it. In that case, we don't follow Rabbi Yochanan, either or. How can we split the two things? As Rashi says, because there's a svar to say that Adam is different than a kli. This was a svar mentioned in the Gemara earlier, actually. The kiva deni or kana, yosh nami kana. Since a person, if he would be awake, be aware during Minas Shemashah, certainly there were no questions that he's kind of at home. So since he's still a Bar Shvisa, he's a Bar Das, he's a person. If he'd be awake, it'd be okay. So if he's sleeping, it's also fine. He's a person that has the ability to acquire Shvisa. In addition to that, the presumption is that he wants, is a consenter, he wants the Shvisa. Therefore, when it comes to a person, he gets Shvisa, even if he's asleep. Aval b'kelim, less hilchak of a say, but when it comes to a kli, we don't follow Rabbi Yechanan. Just an inanimate object won't be kind of Shvisa. So that's why you need to add this. You need to say, it's only when it comes to the kula that we follow the shita. So why can't he just suffice with that, asked the Gemara? He could just say, halacha d'vir ha-mekel v'erev, and we figure this all out on our own. He needed to add that we follow Rabbi Yechanan. Why? Because perhaps I would say, this is different, because it's avol yachad makim rabim, kigoyin Rabbi Yechanan menuri, the pligi rabban alei. This is a case where a yachad is being opposed by a rabim. Ema, perhaps I would say, le silchot kavasei, halacha does not follow his opinion. That's why he needed to tell us, even in this case, we follow Rabbi Yechanan menuri's shit. Continues the Gemara. Amalei Rav Abaye. So Rabbi Shimon Levi needed to stress that we follow Rabbi Yechanan Menuri's Shita, and Adam who is sleeping is kind of Shvisa. Perhaps I would say, we're going to follow the Rabbim. Now, we're speaking about a Din Rabbanon. Tchumen, it's a Rabbanon. Why did Rabbi Shimon Levi see a need to stress that? Perhaps I would say, we follow the Rabbim, and therefore we need to stress we follow Rabbi Yechanan Menuri, despite the fact that he's merely a yachid connected rabbin. If we're speaking about a din de rabbanon, we know that safek de rabbanon lekula. So whenever you have an uncertainty, we follow the lenient approach. So what difference would it make if there's a rabbin against him or yachid against him? We would follow the kula regardless. Amali rabbi labai mechti. Let's take a look. Erevin de rabbanon. It's a din de rabbanon. Mali yachid b'makim yachid. What difference does it make if it's a individual who is having a machlekes with another yachid? Umali yachid makim rabim, or it's a yachid who is being makel and being opposed by a rabim. In either case, it's safek derabbanan. So even if you have many people against him, it's still a safek. We would follow the lenient view, which in this case is the yachid, regardless. So there's really no need for Rabbi Shimon Levi to have to point that out to us. Umali raf papa l'rava. That's not the case. I'll prove it to you that even when it comes to the Rabbanon, where we say Safek the Rabbanon Lekula, but when there's an overwhelming factor on the other side, for instance, there's a Rabbim, there's a multitude, a majority, who oppose the Yachid, that carries weight. That's an indicator that perhaps their view is the correct approach. And therefore, even when it comes to the Rabbanon, perhaps we would follow the Rabbim. And that's why Rabbi Shimon Levi needed to stress, no, in this case we're going to follow the Yachid. Amlar Papa L'Rav, Ube D'Rabban Lo Shanilan. Even when it comes to Rabban, don't you think there's a difference? Ben Yachid Makim Yachid. When there's a Yachid who has a lenient view, and he's only being opposed by another individual. Between that and L'Yachid Makim Rabbim. Or when there's a Yachid who's Mekel, but he's being opposed by a Rabbim. You don't think there's a difference between the two things? It certainly is. Vatnan. We've learned in the Mishnah as follows. Rav Eliezer Omer, Kol Isha Sh'avro Le Sholish Oinois Daya Sh'ata. The Mishnah in the beginning of Maseches Nida tells us that if Isha sees Dam, so in our Torah, she's Tamei going forward. Midrabbanan is a Gzera of Me'es Leis. We're concerned perhaps the Dam had already exited their inner cavity, came to the Bais HaChitzen, in which case she's Tamei. And that happened without her realizing it. Therefore, Rabbanan said, when it comes to Truma, to Kachim, we consider her to be Tamei retroactively, 24 hours retroactively. So anything that she touched from Truma or Kachim, we consider Tamei. Now, let's say an Isha is already a Zakena, elderly woman, and she has stopped seeing Dam. She had ceased for a period of Shalish Oynes, three cycles, three periods, which is a total of 90 days. So, at that point we say, well, she's not really prone to seeing Dam, and even if she happens to see some Dam, she's Tummy only going forward. We don't say, well, perhaps she was already Tummy within the last 24 hours. but that's specific to an Isha Zikena, a mature elderly woman. Rabbi Eliezer says this applies to any type of Isha, even a young woman. Kol Isha, Sh'avar Olea Shalish Oinois, who had passed through 3 periods, meaning a total of 90 days without sighting any dam, daya sha'ata. If she'll see dam, we say, it's enough to be metamaha sha'ata, from this time on, from this moment forward, but not retroactive. Now what happens if this takes place, a young Isha didn't have dam for 90 days, and now she has dam. According to Blazer, whatever she touched within the last 24 hours is tar. According to Rabban, it's tummy. So what happened here? V'tanya, we have a story, Masa Vasa Rebbe Kerbeleza. There was a story with an Isha who had this experience. And there was some truma that she touched, or some kachum that she touched, whatever it is she touched within the last 24 hours. And the Shaila came to Rebbe. What should we do? So Rebbe did like Kerbeleza. Vasa Rebbe Kerbeleza, meaning he considered it to be tar during that retroactive period. After Rebbe recalled that he erred, Omar, he said, I'm going to leave the ruling as is. I'm not going to overturn it. Omar, kedayu Rebbe Lezer, lismach alav shasadchak. Rebbe Lezer is great enough to rely on him in this time of need. Rashi says it was a time of famine. Taisus says that the person who asked the question perhaps left town. So there's a time of necessity. So he stuck with the shita, with the halacha, and he considered anything that was touched within the last 24 hours by this isha as tahar. Okay, that was the end of the story. Let's analyze. What does the braisa mean? Mai la'acha sheniskar, after he reminded himself. Well, what was it that he recalled? Ilim la'acha sheniskar. Then lachar bleze el karabonon. Perhaps he remembered halacha concluded like the rabbanon, not like Rabbi Lezer. We paskin like the Rabbanon. That's what he reminded himself of. If that's the case, how could he stick to the ruling? B'shas adchak, hechi ovid kavasei, even if it's a shas adchak, it's a time of need. It's a pressing time. How could he follow Rabbi Lezer if the halacha concludes clearly like the Rabbanon? It's tamei. Ella, delay itmar hilchas alayka Rabbi Lezer like Rabbanon. Apparently, there was really no conclusion as to which shita went to follow. So it was left unresolved. So what then did Rebbe recall? La'acha shenizkar. The lav yachid palagale. He recalled that it's not a yachid who's disputing Rebbe Lezer. El ravim pliyale. It's actually a ravim who disagree with him. Who hold that the isha, in this case, would be tamei lemafreya retroactively. So that's what he remembered. It wasn't that he remembered that, halachically speaking, he did something wrong. But he did remember that, let's keep in mind, there's a rabbim, a majority, who disagrees with Rebbe Lezer. So perhaps that leads us to conclude that we're meant to follow the shita of the rabbim. Now, even though it's a derabbanon, but a rabbim carries weight. That's a true indicator, perhaps, of the credibility of their shita, of their opinion. Omar, nevertheless, he said, despite that, he said, kedayu Rebbe Lezer, lism chalav shasadchak, Rebbe Lezer is great enough. One can rely on him in this time of necessity. Let's take a look at Rashi. On the right. Right on the right. Beginning with the word Ella. Ella is up to Rashi. Why didn't he revert? Because indeed there was really no conclusion as to which Shitu meant to follow. Not like Rebbe Lezer, nor like the Rabban. So, what did he recall? La'achash Niskar. The Ravim Pligale. He remembered that there's a Ravim. I disagree with him. The Havale Lemevet Kiravim. And therefore he's meant to follow the Ravim. So that's what he recalled. He stopped for a moment and he said, no, I'm going to leave it as is. Amar Kedayu Rabbi Lezer, Lism Chalav Shasatchak. I can rely on Rabbi Lezer. And he didn't overturn the verdict. Ha Lav Shasatchak Loi. So this indicates to us that if it wasn't really, if it wouldn't have been a time of necessity, if it wouldn't have had that mitigating factor, loy, he wouldn't have kept this halacha. He would have followed the ravim. Alma, apparently, afagav. The meisel is gzeir derabon. Even though we're speaking about it, this retroactive tumah, which is certainly only a gzeirah d'rabbanan, and when it comes to the rabbanan, we should follow the lenient approach. Gzeirah d'rabbanan, boy l'mevet k'rab, one is meant to follow the rabbim, because they carry weight. They're an indicator of which way to go. So this was Rav Papa responding to Rav. You're surprised why Rav Shulam ben Levi saw it fit, saw a need to go ahead and teach us explicitly that we follow Rav Yechem and Nuri, despite the fact that there's a Rabbim opposing him, because otherwise perhaps I would follow the Rabbim, even though it's only the Rabbanim. You're wondering why I need to do that. I proved to you from this whole story, from Rebbe, that even when it comes to the Rabbanim, generally we're meant to follow the Rabbim. We're meant to follow in that direction, because the fact that there's a multitude that maintain that opinion, it's an indicator about the weight and the credibility of that view. So even when it comes to the Rabbanan, we want to follow the Rabbin. And therefore, Rav Shlomo Levi need to teach us, no, in this case, when it comes to Erev, even if there's a Rabbin, Halacha k'divrei HaMekel be'Erev. And I saw the Dvar Shmuel. He says, why? Indeed, why when it comes to Erev do we say Halacha k'divrei HaMekel? So he says, there's a Tosis in Shabbos, Abayza Min Aleph. He says, why does the Masechta begin with the Malacha of Haitzah? There's so many other Malachas, and actually it's not the first one on the list. So he says, Tosis says that Haitzah is something so common. And it can be stretched to Tchumen as well. It's such a common thing to carry and to walk. It's the most common thing that we encounter on Shabbos, more than all the other Malachas, carrying and walking. Cameras in the courtyard, just a rabbim. And this is something so common. Therefore, Taisa says the Masechta begins with Haitzah. So we can apply here as well. When it comes to Tchumen, says Dvar Shmuel, it's something which is so commonly done and can present many pitfalls. Therefore, when it comes to these halachas of Erev, the Chachamim saw it fit to apply coolness and leniency, to be makel on the oilam, to make it easier. And this will eliminate and minimize the room for error and pitfall. So in any case, that was Rav Shlomo Levi's chiddush. We follow the lenient view, in this case, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, even though there's a rabbim against him, because halachok de remekel erev. Continues the Gemara. Over Amar Rav Meshashe l'Rav, v'Amar l'Sam say was Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rav. So they're also going to prove from elsewhere that even when it comes to din de rabbanon, we're suffering the rabbanon l'kula, we would prefer, we would favor a rabbim over yachid. Ubedrabbanan lo shani ben yachid makim yachid. So they're asking Rav, they're challenging him. Do you not agree that when it comes to the rabbanan, even by the rabbanan lo shani, there's no difference between yachid makim yachid? We have a yachid who has a lenient view, and he's only being posed by another yachid. There's no difference between that case ben yachid makim rabbim, or when a yachid who is being make is being posed by a rabbim. It certainly is. It's a big difference. About Tanya, haven't you learned in a price? Shmua Kroiva. If one received news that a close relative passed away, so the Shmua, the news arrived close, within close proximity to the passing. In that case, Nehege Shiva Shleshim. As a result of this Shmua, this news, he's meant to observe the halachas of Shiva, halachas of Shleshim. So Shiva would apply to bathing, to laundering, and Shleshim applying to haircuts. That's only because it's a Shmua that came close. Ruchayka, but if it's a distant Shmua, meaning he only received news when it was already far away, a long time has passed from the Misa, Eino Nehegas Le'Mechad, in that case, it's only applied for one day. He doesn't observe the full Shiva and Shleshim. Vezi Kroiva, what is considered to be a close Shmua? Vezi Rechoika, what is a distant? Besay Shleshim, if he got the news within 30 days of the passing, Kroiva, that is the din of a Shmua Kroiva. And the halachas of Avelis apply. Apparently, because it's within 30 days, that's still within the realm of Avelis. And therefore, it's close enough to the death, and therefore, the halachas apply fully. Lacha Shleshim, but if it's already after 30 days pass, Rechoika, that's called a Shmua Rechoika, and he only keeps one day. It's irrelevant. Achashmur kroiva, achashmur rechayka, whether it's close or far. Nehege shivar shloishim, all the halachas apply. V'amar rava rachana rav Yechanan. Which shita do we hold like? Now, the halachas of Avol can have a deiraisa application, as Tosfos points out. The first day is avelus from deiraisa, but the other halachas only drabbanan. So which view do we adopt here? Which shita do we follow? V'amar rava rachana rav Yechanan. Kol makam shatamitz, whenever we find, even by drabbanan, yochid mekel, rav machmirim, you have an individual shita who is mekel, and you have the multitude, the rabbim, which are opposing him, and they're machmir. So even though it's a drabbanan, we follow the rabbim. Halacha, kedibra machmirim hamarub. We follow the rabbim, even if they're machmir, because a rabbim carry weight. They're a true indicator of the correct approach. So that's a general formula. Chutz misu, except for this. Meaning, when it comes to the halachas of avilus, of mourning, sha'afa bisha b'kiva mekel, even if we have Rabbi Kiva on the one side, who's being mekel, he says, well, if it's a shmur rechayka, he heard it only past 30, he doesn't have to keep merely, it only keeps merely one day. So Rabbi Kiva is mekel, v'cham machmir, and we have the chachamim, who are a rabbim, who are machmir, they say, even if the shmur rechayka, he must keep the full halachas of avelus. So even though we have the rabbim against him, halacha, k'divrei Rabbi Kiva, we follow Rabbi Kiva's shita. Why? Misavel like Shmuel, he was like Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel halacha k'divrei Mekel be'Avol. When it comes to avelus, we adopt the lenient approach. So the Shemi Shmuel says the whole concept of avelus. The Gemara Ma'id Katan says a person is in a shalom, he's not complete, and he says the koyches of rav tuma rest on him. He says this whole concept became softened up, diminished as the generations proceeded, the koichas harak, koichas tumah became less and less. He says the chacham saw it fit to be mekel, to be lenient when it comes to these concepts of avelus. In any case, the Gemara here is stressing that generally went by the rabbanu, went to follow the rabbin. There's an exception by avelus. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, by avelus hu da'akilu barabbanu, it's only by avelus that the rabbanu will mekel, despite the fact that there's a rabbin who are machm. But generally speaking, I feel with Rabbanon. We learn from here that even when it comes to the Rabbanon, Shani, there's a big difference between Yachid, Mokem Yachid. We have a machlekes of a Yachid opposing another Yachid, in which case we're going to follow the lenient approach. Ben Yachid, Mokem Rabbim. Or we have a case of a Yachid who's being opposed by a Rabbim, in which case we're going to follow the Rabbim, even by the Rabbanon. So this was Rav Mesharsha or Rav Nachman Reitzlak, challenging Rava. You're questioning why Rabbi Shoma Levi needed to highlight the fact that we follow Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri, even though he's being opposed by a Rava. It's a Rabbanah. What difference does it make if there's a Rava against him or not? Here we have another riot. That even by a Rabbanah, yes, we're meant to follow the Rava. It carries weight. That it's a very significant factor. Even by the Rabbanah, we're meant to follow the Rava. Yeah, we have exceptions. We have Avelis. We have Shasat Chak. We have Erev. But generally speaking, yeah, we're meant to follow the Rabbim. Therefore, I'm sure we'll even need to highlight that by Erev, we make that exception. Halacha k'divrei Mekel be'Erev, even though he's a Yachid, a Neged Rav. Continues the Gemara. Back to the original question. Why did Rabbi Shimon ben Levi need to say, after he already said, Halacha k'divrei Mekel be'Erev, we follow the lenient approach when it comes to Erev, he need to add, Halacha is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Why did he see fit? Why did he need to add that? Someone gave us one approach. We're going to have another two approaches. Rabbi Papa Amar, Yitzruch. Yes, he needed to add that addition. Saga that Chamina, perhaps I can say. Hani mili berubi chatziris. The general rule, Halacha k'divrei hamekel, when it comes to Erev, we're lenient. Perhaps that's only when it comes to Erev chatziris. Aval berubi tchumen. Perhaps there we won't follow the lenient approach. Then someone will explain why. Sricha, that's why. Yes, he needed to add that. Not only when it comes to Eruv, we are Mekel, even over here in our Sugya, when it's discussing Eruv Tchumen, we follow the lenient approach of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and the person who's asleep during Ben HaShemashes will acquire Shvis. Says Gemara, why would I think to differentiate? Munah Temra. Why would I think to say the Shanilan Bein Urvachatzerut and Urvachumen to split between one and the other? Why would I say that Urvachumen is different and perhaps we're not Mekel? The reason is as follows. The Snan, we learned in the Mishnah. Omar Abuda. The Mishnah there is discussing the requirement to acquire consent, to receive permission from a person before establishing the Erev on his behalf. He can't just do it without his knowledge. So the Rebbe says that's only specific to a Ruvei Tchumen. When is that said? Ruvei Tchumen. Why? Because perhaps he's not really interested in going in this direction. He has a simcha, he needs to go in the other direction. He can't just place an Erev on his behalf. Aval b'ruvei chatzeiros. When it comes to merely merging the residents of the courtyard to allow them to carry throughout the courtyard, there's no downside there. In that case, ma'arvin bein ladas or bein shelo ladas. You can make the Erev on a person's behalf, whether it's ladas, he's aware of it, or even if he's unaware, shelo ladas. Why? She'zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav. Because one is allowed to do a schus for somebody. Shelo b'fanav, even without his awareness, without his knowledge. Ve'en chavon la'adam, but you can't do something which is detrimental to the person, ela b'fanav, only if he's aware of it. So in sum total we see that this Mishnah differentiates between Eruv HaChatzeres, which is considered to be a schus, and conscious Eruv HaTchumen, which is not necessarily a schus. Perhaps it could be a chayva, says the Maharal. That would explain why Rabbi Shimon Levi saw a need to stress that not only by Eruv HaChatzeres do we follow the leading view, even when it comes to Eruv HaTchumen, perhaps there will be room to say, yeah, by Eruv HaChatzeres, which is strictly schus, it's only beneficial to the person. That's why the Chacham said we follow the shita which is mekel, because it's beneficial to the person. It's a kula, it's a good thing. But perhaps when it comes to a tchum, which sometimes can be a chayv, sometimes can be detrimental to the person. So perhaps there we wouldn't apply this formula that halacha kedibri hamekel be'erev. Why should we follow the lenient view? Perhaps it's actually going to be a chumrah to this person. Therefore, Rabbi Shlomo Levi needs to stress for us, no, even when it comes to Eruv HaTchumen, even if it's not necessarily a schus, this is a klal which applies to Erev in general, that we apply a kula, we follow the lenient view, such as in our case, we follow Rabbi Yechon Shita, that even a sleeping person acquires shvus. So this is Rav Papa's approach, that Rav Shlomo Levi needs to stress, even when we discuss Erev HaTchumen, we adopt the lenient shita. Says more another teretz, Rav Ashi Omer, why did Rav Shlomo Levi need to add that we follow Rav Yechon Benuri Shita, even though he already said that Allah Kedivra Mekel Be'erev? Itzrich, yes, it's necessary. Sagadai Tachamina, perhaps I would say, Hani Mili Bishir Erev. We follow the Dibri HaMekel only when it's Shir Erev, when it's a remnant of an Erev. Aval B'tchilas Erev, Emaloi. But when we're initiating Erev, perhaps there, we're going to follow the lenient view. Explains the Ritva. Perhaps only when there was an Erev already established. You have a chazok, a presumption that it's good. So perhaps we'll follow the lenient view when it comes to maintaining a pre-existing Erev. But in a case such as ours, where the question is, a person who's asleep during Ben HaShemashis has a shvis, has a tchum been established in the first place. That's called initiating an Erev. That's a tchilas Erev. So perhaps even if it's a derabbanon, not going to follow the lenient view. It's only to maintain, but not to initiate and create an Erev. So perhaps there I would say, a maloi. Perhaps there I wouldn't go ahead and follow the lenient view and establish and validate an Erev based on a lenient view like Rabbi Yechon Benuri. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon Levi need to stress for us, no, we follow Rabbi Yechon Benuri even when it comes to validating, initiating an Erev. Umanat Hemra, why would you say the Shanilan Ben Shiur Erev Tchilas Erev? How do you know to differentiate between the remnants, the leftover of an Erev, or the initiation of an Erev, the Snan, as we find a similar concept in the Mishnah? Omer B'yosi. B'medva Mamur. The Mishnah there is giving us a shear, the guidelines for the requirement, the shear requirements, how much food needs to be used for the Erev. And the Mishnah gives us a large shir. Says Rabbi Yossi, "Bamed v'om amurim." When is this said? When do we require such a large amount of food to create that Erev? The Mishnah is here speaking about Erev Chatzeres, Shituf Mavois, let's say. Betchilas Erev. That's only when it comes to the establishment of the Erev. Aval b'shiuri Erev. But let's say you already established the Erev, using the proper quantity of food, and then some food disappeared. You only have some leftovers. Afilu kolshu. Even if there's only a drop left over, that's okay. Because it still retains its Erev status. Once you've established it, it remains intact, as long as there's something left over. The Mishnah concludes, the only reason the Chachamim required them to make Erev Chatzeres after they've already established the Shituf Mavois, which is the partnership of all the alleyways together, which actually includes the Chatzeres within. So technically, you don't really need an additional Erev Chatzeres for the courtyard once you've already established that Shituf Mavois. And the reason why they required it, Elo Kadesh Leilu Shakeach, Teres Erev Minatinoikis, in order that the Tinoikis, the children within the courtyards, who don't necessarily see the Erev, they don't see the box of matzahs there, because it was only placed in one of the Chatzeres. Right? The Shituf Mavois meant to merge together all the alleyways only requires one box of matzahs, which is placed in one of the courtyards. So the other members, the kids which are roaming around the other courtyards, they don't see any Erev in the courtyard which they reside. So perhaps they're going to forget about this whole concept of the Erev. You see, look, everyone's carrying. Where's the Erev? The Chacham required them to establish the Erev Chatzeres, despite the fact that there's already a Shituf Mavois present. Okay, this is discussed later on in the Masechta. In any case, we see in this Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi makes that distinction. He says, Tchilas Erev, when you initiate, establish the Erev, you require more food. When it's already been established, in order to maintain, you can even have a lesser volume of food. So you see that establishing is more stringent than maintenance. So likewise, perhaps, when it comes to following a lenient shita, perhaps that only applies when you're maintaining a pre-existing Erev. When it comes to establishing Erev, which requires more, perhaps we wouldn't follow a lenient view. Therefore, Bishur Malevi found it necessary to add that additional statement. No, we follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri even when it comes to acquiring Shvisa. That a person who's asleep will acquire Shvisa. So in summary, Rabbi Bishur Malevi said, Halacha. He said two things. Halacha, Kedibri HaMekel Be'erif. And he also said, Halacha, Kedibri HaMekel Be'erif. Why are both needed? Explains the Gemara. The statement, Halacha, Kedibri HaMekel Be'erif, is teaching us that only when it comes to the Kula do we follow the Shita. Meaning, when it comes to a person who is sleeping in Hashmashes, we allow him to be Kanish Shvisa. However, when it comes to a Kli, we don't follow Rabbi Yochanan, we follow the Rabbanan. That a Kli Efker is not Kanish Shvisa. In which case, it's not restricted, it's not limited to 2,000. A person who picks it up can take it wherever he goes. Why did Rabbi Shmuel Levi find it necessary to add a second statement? Halach Kerechem and Nuri? So you have three answers. Number one, even though Rabbi Yochanan is merely a Yochid being opposed by a Rabbi, we follow Rabbi Yochanan. Even though we're speaking about Rubit Chuman, we follow Rabbi Yochanan. Even though we're speaking about Tchilas Erev, initiating the Erev, we follow Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zrika Amru, they both dictated the following formula meant to be applied when deciding matters of Halacha. Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechaveru. The halacha follows Rabbi Akiva's shita whenever he has a machlekes with his colleague, with one other person. U'k'Rabbi Yosi mechaveruv. We follow Rabbi Yosi even when he's having machlekes with many others. U'k'Rabbi mechaveru. We follow Rabbi when he's going to have a machlekes with one other person. And the Marik points out that these formulas were adopted because the Chachamim not necessarily had the ability to delve into every single machlekes in Shas, into the nuances and all the different aspects of the various opinions. Therefore, they adopted a general formula, which was based on the higher standing of one Tana over the other, or perhaps the superiority of his Rebbe over the other person's Rebbe. That's why they adopted this formula. They assumed that the view which is being held by this Shita is superior and preferred over the other Shita. Says, to what extent are we meant to apply this formula? Is it an absolute formula, or perhaps it's merely another factor to consider? We prefer Rabbi Yossi, for instance. So it's a factor to consider when actually coming to a conclusion, when deciding who to follow. So I have three opinions. Rabbi Asi Omar, halacha. It's an absolute halacha, meaning we publicize it. And even when it comes to Rabbi Yossi, who's having machlekes with many others, we're going to publicize the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Chir Ba'aba Omar, matin. We lean, we tilt. Rashi explains, he's referring to Rabbi Yossi when he's having a machlekes with many others. In that case, we can't. We can't publicize halacha is going to follow Rabbi Yossi. In contrast with a majority view, perhaps the point is, we can't negate and undermine the view of the majority, which is a fundamental concept in Torah. Therefore, he says, matin, we lean, meaning we advocate it to an individual, but we don't publicize it. Rabbi Yossi, Rechanina Amar, nirin. Again, he's referring to when there's a majority opposing, then nirin, it appears. What does that mean? Explains Rashi, so if a person actually followed the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, even though he was opposed by a majority, we don't make him overturn the halacha, he can leave it as is. Continues the Gemara, Kiloshen Hazeh, according to the following formula, Omar Rav Yaakov Idi dictated the following formula. Omar Rav Yochanan, the name of Yochanan. Now Tosfos points out that he disagreed with the concept of following Rabbi Yossi even when he's being opposed by many. So that's the one aspect here that he's disagreeing with the previous shita. So he had a different formula. Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, whenever there's a machlokes between these two, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Halacha Rav Yehuda. We follow Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, when there's a machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi, Halacha Rav Yossi. So Rav Yossi supersedes Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda takes preference over Rav Meir. That's how we get to the next point. Vein Tzarech Lema, if so, there's no need to say, when there's a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, Halacha Rav Yossi. Certainly follow Rav Yossi. Why? Simple math. Hashta b'mokim Rabbi Yehuda. Lesser, because if in the face of Rabbi Yehuda, Ramei is negated, b'mokim Rabbi Yossi b'boye, is there need to say that Ramei is negated when he's faced with Rabbi Yossi? If Rabbi Yossi supersedes Rabbi Yehuda, who supersedes Ramei, then certainly Ramei is negated in the face of Rabbi Yossi. Omar Basi, Afani Loimit, I too have the following conclusion. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, when my chalik is between these two, halachah Rabbi Yossi. How do I know that? The Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, halachah Rabbi Yehuda. Whenever there's my chalik between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda takes precedence. We follow his shita. Now, hashta, malachah Rabbi Yehuda less. Now that we see that Rabbi Shimon is negated in the face of Rabbi Yehuda, who supersedes him, but malachah Rabbi Yehuda by it, is there need to say that Rabbi Shimon will be negated in the face of Rabbi Yossi, who actually stands higher than Rabbi Yehuda. So on top of the pyramid we have Rabbi Yossi, followed by Rabbi Yehuda, and on the bottom we have Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Now, between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, which one takes precedence? Iboilu. So I have the following question. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, my. Which one between these two? Is it Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Shimon that's going to take precedence? Teku, we leave it unresolved. So in summary, according to this formula, the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi over Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda over Meir Rabbi Shimon, and certainly Rabbi Yossi takes precedence over Meir Rabbi Shimon. Regarding Meir Rabbi Shimon themselves, we leave it unresolved. Continues the Gemara. Amar Mesharshe. I don't agree to all these formulas. Les nulah nikloli. We don't apply all these formulas. Rather, we evaluate each situation on its own. We take a look at the opinions, at the shittas, and conclude accordingly. We don't apply these general formulas. Says the Manole l'Rameshashiyah. How do you know that's the case? Ile mamaha disnan. Is it from the following Mishnah? Rav Shimon Aimer. This is our Mishnah. Lamad of Adoyma. We're speaking there about the people stuck out in the wilderness, and they have their four amos, and they share a portion of their four amos. And Rav Shimon added, this is similar to the following scenario. They have three courtyards lined up side by side. So they're open to each other and they're also open to Shusarabim. If the two outer ones, so we have A, B, and C. Now the two outer ones, A and C, made an Erev with the middle one, with B. he muteris imayim. So B can transfer to them, the muteris imo, they can transfer to it because they have an erev. Ushtan chatzoinus asuri zumzu, the two outer ones at the extreme cannot transfer one to the other because they have no erev. So the shita Rav Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says all three are asur, is going to be discussed later on. V'omar Rav Chama bar Gurya, Omar Rav, halachah Rav Shimon. We follow Rav Shimon, and we say that they are mutar to interact with each other. Uman Palgalei, who is the man de Omar who disagrees? Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda is the one mentioned earlier in that Mishnah, so apparently he's the one who disagrees with Rav Shimon. So how can you say halachah follows Rav Shimon? V'amrit, haven't you said, you applied a formula, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, halachah Rabbi Yehuda. El Alav, apparently, Shema Mina, we hear from this, less new, we don't hold to those formulas. We see clearly that here we paskin that halacha like Rabbi Shimon, even when he's opposed by Rabbi Yehuda. That's not my kusha. Well, what's the kasha here? Dilma hecha de itma itma. Whenever there was an explicit conclusion, fine, and we follow that conclusion, such as in this case, where we have a statement of Rav Chama bar Gurya, the name of Rav. In this case, we follow Rav Shimon. Fine, it's an exception. Hechad lo yitzmer, lo yitzmer. But otherwise, when it wasn't said and concluded, then we went to apply those formulas. So we now have a kasha from this case. Elamaha, had a Rasharshi know that we're not meant to apply those formulas from the following mission. The Snan, Yishal Yachad v'Ashal Rav. We have a city that belonged to a Yachad. That means, Rashi explains that there were no 600,000 people milling throughout the city. And then it got populated, that's the Shul Rabbim. Many people arrived, and now there are 600,000 people. It looks like a Rishis Rabbim. Marvin is Kula. You can still go ahead and make an Erev throughout the entire city, Erev Chatzeres, which you can have a walled city, which will allow Karen throughout the entire city. However, Shul Rabbim, let's say originally it was a populated city, you had 600,000 people using it. But now it's a Shul Yach, and then slow down. Population thinned out, and it no longer appears like a Rishis HaRabim. It doesn't have those 600,000 people, which make it look like a Rishis HaRabim. Still, Ein Ma'arvin Eskula. You cannot make an Erev throughout the entire city, unless you leave something out of the Erev zone. Ela Im Kein Oysa Chutzala. You leave some portion out of the Erev area, where you won't be able to carry. How large a portion must that be? Kiyusha Chadosha Shebi Yehuda. It needs to be equal in size to the city Chadosha, that was the name of the city. But Yehuda, in the era of Yehuda and Eretz Yisrael, how large was it? Sheyesh b'chamishim diyurin, which contained 50 residents. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. What's the point here? The point is that it should be a hacker. We have to implement some type of recognition here, so that people shouldn't forget about the whole concept of Shisurab. This place, this city, initially began as a public area, a place with Shishim Ribu, looks like a Shisuravim. So even if the population thinned out, and now you no longer have a Shishim Ribu, 600,000 here, it doesn't appear like Shisuravim, still, you cannot go ahead and arrange to carry throughout the entire city so that people won't forget about the concept that you're not meant to carry Shisuravim, so you're meant to leave some portion where you can't carry. So how large? A size equal to the Ir Chadasha, which had 50 diurim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Shimon Omer, you don't need to have it so big. Shalosh Chatzeres, Shalosh Nei Batim. You need to have three courtyards with two houses in each. That's sufficient. This sugi will be discussed later in the Frontes. In any case, who do we follow? V'Amar Rav Chama bar Gurya Amar Rav, Halacha Rav Shimon. So we follow Rav Shimon despite the fact that he's opposed by Rabbi Yehuda. Uman Polagale, Rabbi Yehuda. Who's opposing Rabbi Yehuda? V'amrit, haven't you said Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, halacha Rabbi Yehuda? When these two having machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon, we found to follow Rabbi Yehuda. So this is inconsistent with your formula. Says, well, my kushya, here as well. What's the kashya? Dilma, hachanami, here as well we could answer. Hey, chad itmar, when there's an explicit statement, such as in this case, Rav Chama bar Gurya says, no, Rabbi, follow Rabbi Shimon. So it's an exception. Hey, chad itmar, itmar, we learned. Hey, chad itmar, but otherwise, we don't have a clear-cut conclusion, lo yitma, that we don't have a conclusion, meaning we want to follow those formulas. So how do you have a right from here that those formulas are not meant to be applied? The more we continue, proceed to bringing more rice, as we're going to see Be'ezah Hashem in the coming daf. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. The more it began, that Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi made two statements. First of all, we follow the shita of Mekel when it comes to an Erev, follow a lenient view. The more it tells us that the implication here is that on the one hand we follow Rabbi Yechiman Nuri, so if a person was sleeping ben Hashmashos, he's granted a shvisa. That's a cool. On the other hand, we follow the Rabbanon, that a kli hefker doesn't have shvisa, which results in a kula, that a person who picks it up can take it wherever he goes. Rabbi Shmuel Levi made another statement, that halacha follows Rabbi Yechiman Nuri, and a person who was asleep ben Hashmashos acquires shvisa. The one wanted to know why it was necessary to add this statement on top of the previous one. The one gave us three approaches. Number one, the chiddush was, even though he's a yachid, being opposed by a rabbim, we follow his opinion. Second approach was, even though he's speaking about a ruvah tchumen, which sometimes results in a chayva, sometimes it's a detriment of a person. Nevertheless, we follow the lenient approach. Third approach in the Gemara was, although we're speaking about a tchilas erev, the establishment, the initiation of an erev, in this case as well, we follow Rabbi Yochanan and Rishita, and a person that's asleep in Hashmashes, he acquires shvisa, acquires a tchum. The Gemara concluded with several formulas regarding the conclusions of halachas pertaining to various machlekes, and the Gemara proceeded to discuss whether or not we want to apply those formulas.